The gospel reading comes to us from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, and I'll be reading verses 22 to 30. The context of this pericope, this section of Jesus telling the disciples and those around, is the dedication of the temple. That's one of the high holy seasons, Hanukkah, and they're celebrating the dedication, the rededication of the temple in 164 BC. And when the temple was destroyed prior to that, during the reign of Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, and try saying that real quickly, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, and they rededicated the temple in 164 after that devastating destruction, because the temple was not only the presence of God to the people, but they would receive guidance. It was like what happened in synagogue at the temple was being shepherded, that God was shepherding the people in the way they are to go. So listen, 2 and 4, the word of God from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of the Lord. I grew up in the Central Valley of California. Agriculture galore, large ranches. Up in the hills, more ranches, and lots of land for hunting. I was not a hunter. After my sixth grade of experience of going dove hunting, I did not find that a pleasant or peaceful experience. So I haven't ever been a hunter since then, and I really wasn't a good one then. But Larry Libby, in his book, Never What, Never Where, describes a story of his father-in-law, Bob. So let me tell you the story. Bob, my father-in-law, hunts deer every fall in the mountains of North Central California. A number of farmers and ranchers will let hunters go on their property to hunt. And, you just ask, and rarely do they say no. But in this case, the owner of the ranch said to Bob, "You can go hunting, but I want to go with you." Now, Bob in his head was saying, "Why does this guy want to go with me? Does he think I can't handle driving this Jeep? Is he nervous? Is he a classic backseat driver? I mean, what is with this guy? Do I need a babysitter? Do I need a guide?" Well, Bob didn't say any of that to this guy because he was very excited about being able to go hunting. And so the owner got into the car, into the Jeep, and they started driving. And so they hadn't been driving very long, but it was getting more close to dusk. And in the way distance, they could see deer coming to graze. Well, the owner started saying, "You need to slow down. classic backseat driver kind of material, right? Do you guys ever experience that? You never do. You never have people in your car that want to help you drive. Well, good for you. I'm glad about that. So you better slow down. And then he finally comes and says, I want you to stop. Let's get out. And I want you to walk with me. And so they walked. And they walked. And then he said, stop. It was a 30-foot wide gap to a bottomless ravine. Bob took a deep breath. The owner said, okay, get back in the car and the Jeep. We're going to go this direction a little bit, and then there will be a pass. The point of all this is there are times when we need a guide. And today's text that was read from Psalm 23 and what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 10 is how Jesus is our shepherd, is our guide, and Jesus knows the voice of his sheep, and the sheep listen for his voice. And the ways we can hear the voice of Jesus is when we read scripture, when we pray, when we participate in a small group, when we're with other believers serving, and we're understanding Matthew 25, and we're hearing Jesus say, you know, what you're doing today, you're doing for me. So I want to spend a few minutes this morning talking with us about how God's unconditional love for us and how we serve is a way that others, believers and non-believers alike, can hear Jesus' voice through our words and deeds in everyday life. That's why it's important, as you've heard me say many, 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 many times over my 16 months with us, is that today's form of evangelism or sharing good news is through our words, not preaching at people, but how we say things and what we're committing to in how we serve. Many, many ways your life is impacting others, and you might not even know it, simply by the way you live as a follower of Jesus Christ. So whatever despair, discouragement, or doubt you bring to church this day, now you've heard me say this phrase, Easter Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, the third Sunday of Easter, and now the fourth Sunday of Easter. We have a few more of Easter's coming. You're going to hear the same statement. Because each one of us in any given worship service can bring despair, discouragement, and doubt. They're normal things in life. But we can bring them to church and know that the Good Shepherd is showing us an even better way to live than being captured by doubt, discouragement, and despair. So on this fourth Sunday of Easter, Jesus says in John 10, verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My friends, I look to that promise often, because whatever the normal forms of discouragement or doubt or despair that come our way, they will not take us away from Jesus, because Jesus has us, holds us, is walking with us in whatever form of despair or doubt or discouragement we have. I was so encouraged with six of you participating in the Grief Share ministry last Thursday, and more of you could come. what's exciting about that group is you're sharing a common experience. Christ is in the room, and the Good Shepherd is meeting you in those still moments of appropriate grief, of discouragement, or despair, or doubt that you may have, and all the other kinds of experiences. So I'm so excited about that group, and what a wonderful grief share is a great program, and this is a wonderful opportunity to share with others a very common story of grief. But your story is not common. Each person has their story, and it's their story, and Jesus cares about that story. And others in that room can walk with you in that story. Randy Frazee, in his book, The Connecting Church 2.0, reminds us of loving God and others as the key in knowing and experiencing the unconditional love of God when he writes, "There is no way a person can journey into new territory and evaluate and calculate everything perfectly. If you wait until you have all your ducks in row, you will never do anything." So the shepherd is always looking out for the sheep, but there's some sheep that want to stray away. But who goes after the straying sheep? The shepherd. Okay, what Frazee is saying here, there's no way a person can be on a journey into a new place and be able to calculate everything that might come down. No matter how hard I try, if I'm going somewhere new, I want to really figure it out. So I'm a very linear thinker, but I guess I'm also like to be in control. So I'd like to know what's going on, but I can never get all my ducks in a row and go, okay, we're ready. Eventually, I just have to exercise faith, right? And start moving. Start acting, start being. But the shepherd's with me and knows me. So we understand in the Revelation of John, which is the fourth lectionary text as a part of the four texts that this Sunday has recommended, and we've read two of the four. But in the Revelation, the whole book of Revelation talks about worship as the good and merciful shepherd, when we worship him, that we're still tempted to worship power and privilege. But when we gather to worship, we're here to worship God in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. And oftentimes, we want to forget that Jesus really has the power for us to be able to walk that journey. But we want to take power and, if you will, the privilege we have into our own. But worship is a focus on the Good Shepherd and the unconditional love that God has for each one of us and every human being. Some human beings just haven't discovered that reality yet in and through Jesus Christ. Greg Carey, professor of New Testament at Lancaster Theological Seminary, writes, "When history jumps off the tracks and chaos reigns, worship matters." You know, in our world and in our country, history is jumping the tracks all the time. And we need to trust the shepherd to get us back into the journey that God has us on. You see, whenever history jumps off the tracks, chaos becomes a way of life. But worship brings us back to the one who created all things out of nothing. And it's not chaotic from God's experience. We make things chaotic when we jump the tracks. And so how do we listen to the Good Shepherd say, no, we need to get back on track with things I've taught you and move forward in word and deed to help people find their way. So when we become aware that we are found, that God's unconditional love was with us all along, we understand clearly the psalmist's declaration in Psalm 23:3, he restores my soul. The Hebrew nephesh for restore is life breath. Nephesh, life breath. Without life breath, humans do not survive. With each breath we take, God brings us back to life. Think about it that way. You know, at night, I bet none of you are thinking, how am I doing with breathing? But you breathe. Except I had to have a study when I was not breathing on average 79 times during an 8-hour shift. I would stop breathing. Not a good thing. And now the pulmonologist is saying, and your oxygen level is not very good when you're sleeping. So I said to him this last week, so what other good news do you want to tell me? He said, well, we got to figure this one out, Steve. I said, well, the sooner the better, because every morning I thank God for what? Breathing life into me. And hopefully after a good night's sleep, I feel restored. And that's what God's doing for every one of us, because God knows the number of our days, and God is breathing life into each one of us, even now when we're sitting here in the pews. So God, our shepherd, is good and merciful, because at the core of God's being is unconditional love. And we benefit from God's unconditional love in our undeserving condition. God follows us actively, like a shepherd pursues a lost sheep. Now, by faith in Jesus Christ, we're no longer in that lost category, but you and I both know when we deviate from the way God might have us speak or live, we're now getting lost. But who's following us? The Good Shepherd, to get us back into the family. And when that's the case, Jesus' presence for us is a pursuit. It's not passive like a shadow. It's active. God's presence is now with you and with me. We will lack nothing that the shepherd determines we need. Why? Let me quote Martin Luther, because you're all saying, you've got to give us a 16th century quote. Martin Luther, the founder of the Reformation. Quote, a sheep must live entirely by its shepherd's help, protection, and care. As soon as it loses him, it is surrounded by all kinds of dangers and must perish, for it is quite unable to help himself. The reason, it is a poor, weak, simple little beast that can neither feed nor rule itself, nor find the right way, nor protect itself against any kind of danger or misfortune. As long as it's near the shepherd, Luther writes, it worries about nothing, fears no one, and is secure and happy, for it lacks absolutely nothing. I need to heed those words more. Need to heed those words more, that the closer I am to Jesus, I will lack nothing. Because Jesus is for me, not against me. And the same is true for each one of you. So, the Lord is your shepherd. The Lord restores your soul. You'll be rescued from immobilizing despair, discouragement, and doubt. When the sheep of God's pasture worship, we reaffirm our corporate identity as the body of Christ and our call as a people of faith. But perhaps even more important, the Good Shepherd encourages us to rise to the challenges before us. Be a follower of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. How? Worship regularly. Learn by attending adult education opportunities with your siblings in Christ. Connect through fellowship and being in a small group. Serve by finding your one thing to do in God's mission. And give from your life wallet of time, talent, and treasure. Those are all basic things. I've been preaching on these values for church congregations: to worship, to learn, to connect, to serve, to give as a body of Christ, because we're a community. And the closer we are to one another and caring for one another, all of these things that the Good Shepherd offers us becomes more and more of our identity and awareness. Don't wait to act. You will experience the always present, no matter what is happening, unconditional love of God today, tomorrow, and every day, all the days of your life. Amen.